This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Kenneth Makuakane of Kovaya Ha'o Church in Honolulu, Hawaii. Today's message was delivered on May 23rd, 2021. Here now is Kahu Makuakane.
Ooh, all right, we got a really great, awesome treat for you this morning, because I'm not speaking. No, we got a special guest speaker all the way from the island of Oahu, and he has so graciously offered to speak because he was going to be here for his mother's birthday. He's a pastor on Oahu. He's a musician. I cannot count how many hokus he won with my hands and my toes. He can sing, he can preach, and he's just an awesome man of God. Would you welcome Kahu Kenneth Makuakane?
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Scott. Look what I'm using. Mauna Nui. You know, I got this mask, and my sister Johnny said, "Oh yeah, my friend Jennifer made it for us for Mother's Day, so are you calling me a mother?" I'll be mother all the time for these kinds of masks. Mahalo. You know, my mother, we celebrated her birthday yesterday, and there were many beautiful things that came about. But we have so many beautiful things in life to be happy and sad and joyful and mad, glad and angry. And that's all the stuff that God gives us. God gives us emotions. God doesn't tell us your boat's supposed to float on the ocean nice and mellow. God makes all of these things to happen. God gives us the breath of life and the scope of life and the width and the breadth of life so that we can honor and glorify him. But I don't think I read it yet. It's thing work or what? It's thing work. So maybe I can get in the mode of here. I am waiting. I am waiting. I am waiting on the Lord. I am waiting. I am waiting. I am I am on the Lord. I am waiting on the Lord. So, Lord, this is what you want me to speak on? Then I shall speak on this today. I am waiting on the Lord. So I was waiting on the Lord. I was waiting on the Lord because we're doing this thing in person, and a lot of us keep thinking that we're doing online church. We're not doing online church. We're just doing church. Whether you over here in person, or whether you on your pune, you know, your couch, whether you're in the bathroom, whether you're in the bedroom, whether you are in the kitchen, let us say that wherever you are, this is holy ground. Wherever we are, this is holy ground, and we shall worship God today. We shall worship God, and let's start in the beginning. What's the first book of the Bible? I love what Pastor Scott did. He did this Bible study thing. I love it. What is the first book in the Bible? Genesis. And what does the first verse of Genesis say? So let's start in the beginning then. Okay? In the beginning, in the first chapter of Genesis, God said, boom, I'm going to do all these things. And throughout the whole first chapter, what does God do? From nothing, God does this. From nothing, from the impossible, God makes it possible. And all of chapter 1 is the beautiful creation of God. And then what does God do in the first verse of the second chapter? He took a chill pill. He took a break. He said, all good, right? And how is all good? You know, Pastor Scott was going, how many days did David rule? How many sheep and oxen did this? How long did you think God would take a break before he created you and me? Long time. Maybe a billion years? Maybe 2 billion years? We don't know. A breath from us is maybe 1,000 years, right, to God. And so from the beginning, God created all of these, and then he allowed creation to nurture, to divinely manufacture itself and reprocess itself to make all of these beautiful things happen. And then in verse 7 of the second chapter, what did God do? He says, all this is good. And so from the ground, he took the lepo, he took the dirt, and then he looked at the dirt and he went, he blew his breath of life and created you and me. But he didn't create you and me when he created the creation. Why? Because he gave us kuleana. He gave us ownership. He gave us stewardship over everything. But we think dominion means to lord over, means to make everything subservient, means I'm the king and you the slave. No, stewardship, lifetime tenure, whatever you get, take care of. I give you little, you take care of little. Remember, if you look in the Bible, I give you a little bit, you take care of that. I give you a little bit more, you take care of that. I give you a little bit more, you take care of that. I give you choke stuff to have. But if you cannot take care of the manini stuff, why am I going to give you more? Throughout the Bible, God tells us that as we develop as his followers, we are the kinds of people. Anybody had babies? Most of you had babies. So when the baby came out, what? You didn't feed him what? Prime rib. What you fed him when the baby first came out? Nanny bottle, right? That's what God tells us. We feed our children, and even our children who are followers in Christ, we feed them milk first. And as they mature as Christians, then we start feeding them Gerbers, right? And then after Gerbers, then you start feeding them filet mignon, lobster. But you don't give them lobster when you first become Christian because they're going, yikes, I'm getting out of here. This is too rough for me. And that's the thing that God wants us to remember. Our job over here, from the beginning, because when he created the earth, you think he made everything poof and everything would look like this. No. It was dark, light, and then he made the earth, and then only was water, and then he separated the water from the land. He did all these things in piecemeal. He didn't just go bang and everything came out. Same thing the way we grow up. Even in the Word, when we grow up, you give us a little bite size. How you eat one elephant? One bite at a time. That's the way we look at it. You know what? It's not even what I'm wanting to talk about. Funny. So I'm calling this thing missed opportunities. If we don't see that the greatness of God is inside of us, if we don't see how much value we are to God, if we don't see that no matter how much some people bust you up, you don't even own their thoughts, give them away. Lay all the burdens to God, then we're going to get bust up. But you're getting bust up because it's your fault. It's not God's fault. God put his book in front of you, these directions to tell you how to live a good life. But those things are called missed opportunities. And let me show you one picture of a missed opportunity. That's okay. One day you're going to come back. That's a missed opportunity. Everything is a missed opportunity. If we don't take things in stride, if we don't develop ourselves, we think we're the definitive. When somebody's saying, the ship is leaving, you know, like my mom, we're driving over here this morning, and she wanted me to hook up her cell phone to her car, you know, in Bluetooth, because she just changed the battery and now the thing will work together. So all I did was, right, I went to the Bluetooth, I did what I did. And she goes, oh, you know, I retired 25 years ago, and I stopped learning, and now I feel so stupid. I said, Mom, you're not stupid. You just went stand still. But standing still is a misnomer, because you're either going forward or you're going backwards, because the world continues to go forward. The development of our Christianity goes forward. And so if you're standing still, you're actually going backwards. And so I told her, don't go backwards. Just keep going. But you got to take little baby steps, because technology, like Ovia, you know, with our church that's going online, with you who are in a holy space, is moving forward. Because last year, when the COVID came, boom, you go, wow, I cannot come to church. I cannot worship God. What are you talking about? We always worship God in every place. Do you think God only hang out over here? God hang out in the mountains, in the valleys, in the ocean, in the rocks, in the trees, everywhere. And so as we develop our understanding of where to worship God, want to look inside. Because from the second chapter, the seventh verse, God is in here. God already blew his breath of life in. If you blow, what is that? That's an action. That's an action. God intently put himself into each and every one of us. And as you look into Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, when we transition, or as the Bible says, when we go to rest, the lepo, the dirt, goes back to where it comes from, and the breath of God goes back to God. Don't let that missed opportunity and the misunderstanding of who we are and what God values us as something different than the most important thing in our life. When nobody else is there, guess who's there? Because God doesn't live on the outside. God lives on the inside. God's breath, every single breath we take, that's me taking in Keakua. We can live without food for until lunch. We can live without water for a little while, but we cannot live without the breath. And if we do not take the breath of God into us constantly, we will be put to rest. So remember that God is constantly coming in and breathing out, coming in and breathing out to us. How long was that? 2 minutes. Good, because I never even started my message. So, I wanted to tell you about this guy, George Carlin. And I used to watch him because he used to like smash pineapples or watermelons all the time. I was thinking, this guy nuts. You know, he does all these things. But a few weeks before he passed, he did this soliloquy, this little talk. And I went, wow, I didn't know a comedian could be this serious. But what he was talking about, he says, in the paradox of our time in history, we have made taller buildings but shorter tempers. We have made wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more time, but we have less time. We buy more, but we enjoy them less. We get bigger houses, but we get smaller families. We get more conveniences, but less time to use them. We have more degrees, but less common sense. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little bit, drink too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and we pray too seldom. We multiply our possessions, but we reduced all of our values. We talk too much, we love too seldom, we hate too often, and we judge each other all the time. I'm not talking about you, I was talking about the other guys, okay? You guys all good. We've cleaned up the air but polluted our souls. We've conquered the atom but not our prejudices. We write more but we learn less. We plan more but we accomplish less. We've learned to rush and not to wait on the Lord. These are the times of fast foods with slow digestions, big men with little character, steep profits but shallow relationships. These are the days of two income but more divorce, fancy homes but broken. These are overweight bodies and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill you. So remember, George Carlin says, spend some time with your loved ones because they're the only ones going to be around forever. So I was looking at the couple in the back with the little baby boy. That is what life is all about. Spend more time with your ohana. Yeah. Spend more time. Remember to give a hug to the one next to you because that's the only treasure you can give your heart to. Remember to say, I love you to your partner or your loved ones. But most of all, mean it. I love you, I love you, I love you. Mean it. Give time to love, give time to speak, but give most of the time to listening. Because we listen to understand before we speak to be understood. Let me say this once again. We listen so that we understand the other person before we speak to be understood. Our job in life is to serve. Jesus turned the world upside down. In his leadership, he was a follower. When everybody else wanted to go to the center, where did he go? He went to the extremities. So I want to tell you about this dude named Paul. Paul was this bugger, was bashing all the Christians. Not just bashing them, he was killing them. And all of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, what happened? The light of God came and changed his whole world around. And as it changed his world around, he changed the world too. Because his worldview was the view that he got from God. So in the book of Galatians, finally, I'm talking about the Bible. In Galatians 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, I am astonished, because he's talking to the people from Galatia, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserted him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different kind of gospel. Not that there is another one, mind you, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these people are trying to confuse, distort, realign, and mess up your mind. You know, my little boy, last night, he was yak. Hey, Dad, you know what? I was on the internet, and I was listening to these guys talk about religion. And he was going on and on about religion. And I was like, where the heck did you get all this information from? He goes, yeah, Jesus wasn't God. He was the prophet. And he was, and I was like, no, really. You get people all outside there and said, don't, hey, right on, you listen to them. But where are you getting your information from? Is it straight from the Bible, or are you getting it from all kind angles? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, let's go find out. The thing is, if you truly love your brother and your sister, you take the time to sit and to listen in order to understand where they're coming from. And then you speak to be understood. And so as we sat down and we talked, he started to understand what I was trying to tell him about the misalignment of what that person was talking to him about. And so for us who are more mature in our Christianity, our kuleana, our job, is to help them to understand in their walk. But no, because nobody get all the answers. I mean, when Pastor Scott was putting up all that stuff, I was like, C was A. B, everyone was wrong. I'm like, what the heck? Nobody get all the answers. But the same thing, you know, I grew up in Keokaha. When I look at Mauna Kea, I can tell you exactly how Mauna Kea looked like. But my cousin in Waimea goes, nah, look like this. And then my other cousin in Kona go, nah, look like this. But you know what? If we put our collective together as God intended us, as a Kaya'ulu, as a community, as we put our minds together collectively as the community, we will see all of God's greatness. So I only know some things, my cousin knows some things, my other cousin knows some things, but when you put them all together, we find the greatness of God within all of these conversations. But if we do not converse with God and with those that we are in communion with, poho, no good. Because we cannot know everything, and we are expected to know everything. God wants us all to pray. And as we pray knowing that we depend on God for everything. Pray so that we believe that only God can do that. But after you pray, no stop. Because, you know, a lot of times when we pray, we go, God, I like this, no hurt me, be good to this, da-da-da-da-da. And you go, okay, check it out, and then you turn off the phone. But God never even talked to you yet. So the other half of the prayer is to sit and wait on the Lord. But a lot of times when we pray, we just pray, and then we go, oh, I'm going to get on with my life. Okay, a council meeting coming on. Okay, thank you, Lord, for all this stuff. Or thank you putting us together. Okay, okay, what's for business? Oh, the financial statement. And we just go right into them. But the other half of the prayer is to hear what the Lord is telling you. Otherwise, all that we do in here, in this Halipuli, in this church, in this gathering of people, is meaningless. Because what we do as mankind is not what God wants to do. And so are we here to do God's will and God's purpose here? Or are we here to put God in the box, and when we need him out, like when Genie, we rub the bucket and go, poof, okay, we need this. I need him now. I need 75,000 because I don't like this church already. I like remodel them, I like put all this stuff, and then you just shoot them out. God told us that we got to give plenty of money over here so we can buy this. Oh, you own a construction company. Yeah, put the money. Is that God or is that man or woman? Those are missed opportunities that God can use if we allow God to speak to us. And that's the whole point of prayer. Depend on God for everything. And then as you listen, make sure that whatever happens depends on you doing all the work. God said, I'm going to be your partner inside this thing. I'm going to help you. I'm going to move mountains. I'm going to flatten the mountains and move up the valleys. I'm going to do a new thing, as in Isaiah says. Look what I'm going to do. I'm going to put waters in the desert, and I'm going to blossom everything. But you still got to do your work. And if you don't do your work, then God can't do God's work. Those are missed opportunities. And this is the missed opportunity that the Apostle Paul is telling the Galatians, is that what happened is he went to Galatia and he unpacked all of the word of God to them, and they went, oh, shaka, oi, oi, we get them. You can go. And so he left. He went to go evangelize more places. But then some of his followers said, hey, these buggers, they're not listening. So he had to come back, and now he's all halulu. You know, he's kind of like angry. He's, what's that P word? Perplexed. Yeah, you guys, I was thinking of something else. He was perplexed. And so he said, I'm going to tell you folks, you do not look at the gospel and contort, distort, and confuse the gospel. This is what I told you that God has in mind. And so as you pray to God, God will unfold within all of this process. But if you guys just pray and then go on your merry way, then you're going to believe in the people. And that's what happened with the Pharisees. The Pharisees wasn't bad buggers. If it weren't for the Pharisees, we would not have the gospel and the word of God coming through all of these centuries and eons. We started in Genesis, and as mankind developed, as Moses got the Ten Commandments, as the people learned how to walk on an 11-day trip, took them 40 years, but at least they learned. But they all went to rest, and then the Mo'opuna went into the Promised Land. Well, all of these things are happening, and then the people obviously stopped looking at God, because after the books came, then all these judges, you know, all these Kanawai, all these people who were translating what these commandments mean, the laws. And then after that, the people looking at all the other countries around there. And then what did they say? Yeah, I like what he get. You know that keeping up with the Joneses? Oh, I like his curtain. I don't like my curtain. Oh, I get. Wow, his couch look better than mine. Oh, I like the folding seat much better. I'm going to go Walmart. Oh, Walmart not as good. You got to go Costco. Oh, no, not Costco. Let me go Augusta's or wherever you guys going. You know, you go everywhere so that you can keep up with the next door neighbor. And that's what these guys are doing. They want to keep up with the next door neighbor. So they put these judges in place. And all of a sudden, because they like keep up with Egypt, Lebanon, Babylonia, you know, all these places around here, they all get kings. Oh, they get king. I like one king. And so the prophet Samuel is over here. He was an old man by then. And they said, well, we like one king. And what did God say? Samuel, they like you, but they don't like me. So I tell you what, you go find one king for them. And who's the first king that they found? Saul. But was Saul a good guy? No, because Saul wasn't following God. He was following the people. And then distorting the word. And so after that, God said, nah, laters, alligators. And then where did he go? He went to the loins of Jesse and all of his boys. And the first, because he said, let's go look for a real king. And he went to Jesse, to his house, and where? He brought out the first son, Amalek, I think his name was. And Amalek was the biggest and strongest. He looked like Dwayne Johnson. He goes, oh, bro, you're the man, you're the one. And what did God say? No. He says, I'm not looking what man looking at. I'm not looking at all of the character and appearance. I'm looking what in the heart. So finally, after the smallest one, he said, I like that one, the weakest one, the smallest one. That's why Scott over here. That's your guy's King David. I'm sorry, I'm not teasing you. But you know, that's the story of how David develops. And for 40 years, he rules. And then his son takes over. But it's not the son that he wanted to take over, because he had choke kids too. And then he in what they call moi kolohe. He went go fool around with somebody else's wahine. Of course, this never happens over here nowadays. But back then, they used to do them all the time. And then here in Gerar Hapai and Puting, she had the baby. And then God went, ah, no good this one. So what he did? The baby, he died. And then the next one he had was Solomon. And so Solomon was the one who became the next king. But let me not give you the whole Bible in one fell swoop. The whole part is, if we miss the opportunity of how the world flows, of how God moves things, we know not to stand still, because time passes by and everything evolves and changes for the good of those who follow. So when we came into the year 2020, well, before that, in 2019, all of a sudden in Wuhan, they get one thing called COVID. What is COVID? I don't know. What do you think COVID is? Oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden in March of 2020, bang, America get the same thing. And we're like, oh my God, this thing is happening to us. Everybody dying. Don't you think that God in his eminent wisdom put this thing in place to change us from stop being moloa, from stop being lazy, from stop standing in the same place to changing what we do? Because look, we're doing two things at the same time now. You never knew you could chew gum and walk at the same time. We're doing them now because we're doing in person and we're doing online. That's two things, but there's more that we can do. And God wants to shake us up and tell us that we are a people of change. You know, when you start with a baby, you think the baby stayed this small? No, the thing keeps growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. And as the baby grows, you got to change. You got to buy new clothes. You got to do all these things. And then the kid go to school. And then after sixth grade, now he all gets stressed, or she gets stressed, because now you got to go to intermediate school. And then after you go to middle school, then now you get stressed more because you got to go to high school. So it's like you get to the top, now you go to the bottom. As you get to the top, go to the bottom. And then after you finish high school, you're going, what am I going to do after high school? Go to college. I don't know what for, but I'm going anyway because my mother said go. And so you go to college. Right? But it's change, and we constantly change, and it's all good. But for some reason, when we get in one job and we start making money, then we buy one property, we make one house, and now we stuck in here, and we stop moving, and we stop changing. Because we go, oh, now I'm going to put all my hot sweat equity into this one thing. Forget trying to go somewhere else. Is God moving me to go somewhere else? That's what Paul was doing. He was this guy that was at the top of the food chain in what he was doing. And then God moved him around. And now God was using him in other ways. Might we be that Paul? Might we uproot ourselves and root ourselves in the Word of God and make that happen for us? I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just posing a question. You know, I was working for a long time. I started as in college, don't know what I was doing. I left college not knowing where I was going. And then I started playing music for fun because it was fun. And all of a sudden, I started doing this. And then I came to this proverbial top of the food chain. I was doing all of this stuff. And just when I was here, God went, I felt like I was on the road to Damascus. And God went, blast me, and going, now that you're here, I thought I was here, but I was here. He said, now I'm going to use you, because now you're just right. You know what I mean? You're just right, so I can use you. Now I'm going to start building you up to build my kingdom up. And I went, are you kidding me? Isn't that what we always say? Are you kidding me? I get all this, and then you like me get this? He says, I never told you I was going to make you rich. I just told you I was going to provide for you daily. And your daily bread, I'm just going to give you all the needs that you need. I'm not going to give you any more than that. If you get them right on, but if you don't, when is enough enough? When is enough enough? If I give you $10 and all you needed was $5, you give an extra $5. But you go, oh, I got $5. I'm going to invest them so I can make $10 more. And then when you give me another $5, I'm going to invest the other $5. And now I get $20, but I'm going to invest. You know, it's like this proverbial thing. I'm chasing something that I don't even know what it is. My older boy, he went pull out of this thing called Bitcoin. You know what happened to that bugger? That thing would sink 40%. So all the money he made, now he only get what he started with. I went, oh, poor thing, at least you didn't lose money. So a lot of times we think that we're going forward, but either way, we're going backwards. But in the Word of God, whatever you put into it, it compounds. This is a universal church. This is a church that's larger than the people that you see inside here. That is larger than the people who's on top the internet watching. It is larger because we are the witnesses. In the Great Commission, God said, go into the world. Witness to your brothers and sisters in every corner of the world. Did God say go save them? He didn't say save them. When you guys go to, if you ever seen like Judge Judy or whatever, you know, those kind of shows. When Judge Judy call up one witness, what the witness do? They witness. I saw this, I never see this. You think the witness judge or say that he innocent? You know? No, all we are to do is just proclaim what we've heard and what we've read. That's what witnessing is all about. We put the seed inside and we water the bugger. But the only one going to save is God. In God's time, not in our time. But we have to witness. And that's why God starts all these little seedlings here and there and everywhere. But sometimes we like step on them. Because we think that that seed, poho, the thing not good, I'm going to take that. Oh, sorry, God. Our job is not to judge the people who are witnessing on his behalf. Because if it is blessed, God will bless it and grow it. Our job is just to go witness. So if somebody's doing something, know that God is blessing it. You folks are here because God has blessed this wonderful place. I am here on behalf of the one who has called me to help you folks know that you got an incredible pastor, that his heart to serve you is second to none. And you may not agree with some of the things he says. Tough. He's human. He's not God. And in his humanness, he is asking you to join hands and to help him. Otherwise, that's a missed opportunity. If you guys like be entertained, then go Palestiera. This is not an entertainment spot. This is one place where we come to worship, where we come to develop our lives in God, where we find that the kingdom of God is real. We sing about the love of Jesus. We sing about the resurrection and the salvation and the blood that he shed. You know, as I was watching the words, sorry, I'm all over the map, but that's not my fault. That's the Holy Spirit. So you got to blame somebody, you know. I might as well blame the Holy Spirit. No, I was watching, and you guys go, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I was like, wait a minute. First you get the Father and the Son, and who this other guy? What, is your next door neighbor? How did the Holy Spirit get in there? Maybe it's your cousin. Maybe it's your honor. I mean, how do you know who the Holy Spirit is? It's the three-in-one God. You go, but how did this bugger get into my family? What, it's your stepchild? I'm not telling you the answer. I'll let you go and pack them for yourself. See who that Holy Spirit is. Because when Jesus left, what did he leave us with? He left us with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is to guide us. It's not us. He's not the doggy. And we go, come on, Holy Spirit, come over here. And when I need you, spark me up, man, so I can get there. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Moly. We are here. Excuse me. So let me tell you about this next picture. Okay, so this is called the Choluca River. And this Choluca River is down in South America. And so in 1930, the Corps of Engineers, because people couldn't get across the river, so they made one bridge. They said in their mighty glory, they're going to make one bridge. And so for years and years in this area, during the storm season, monsoon season, I think it busts up. But the bridge still allows people to go from one side to the next. But what happened is in 1998, this is what happened. This is the same bridge. The river wouldn't move. Might you think that the river wouldn't move when God created COVID? Might you think the river wouldn't move when Moses took the people out of Egypt? Might you think the river wouldn't move when Abraham, in his blessing, went to where? I don't know where I'm going, but God, you said I'm going somewhere. Might you think it moved when God told Solomon? Might you think it moved when God moved the prophets and the people? Might you think that the river moves when your house stay pa'a and you gotta go do the do for God? The river moves. The Word of God is a living, breathing thing. And we, as the living essence of the living God, need to move when Isaiah said, "Look, I am doing a new thing." But if we stay pa'a like the bridge, poho, what you think they're going to use the bridge for? Graffiti. It's about all the thing worth. Let us do the ministry. Let us do the mission of God. And let us continue to move in concert with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit tells us what we need to do. We don't tell the Spirit what we like to do. We have to move according to the Spirit, and then the Spirit will take us places we never knew existed. Oh, Paul Horan read all this stuff. I don't even use this thing. Kind of funny. But you know, I want to close. No, I changed my mind. I'll tell you two more stories before I close. I grew up in Sunday school. If you understand Sunday school, that's what parents do when they like hang out and they don't like you hang out with them. So they throw you. Hey, come on, truth be told. Okay, and so they give you all these Mickey Mouse stories to tell and all that. And right on, it's all good. But this guy, like everybody else, he wanted to come to church. So he and his wife come to church, and then they send the little kid to Sunday school. And then when his daughter grew up and went to college, the daughter called him up, and she says, "Dad, I'm not going to church anymore. I quit church, and I quit God." And he was all distraught, and so he go to his pastor. "Hey, Pastor Scott." Oh, sorry. And he's trying to tell him how this... you know, how sad he was because his daughter doesn't know God and doesn't want to go to church. And so, of course, you know, Pastor Scott, he would put on his Superman outfit, you know, with the cape, and he's like, "Keep going so I can tell you what I mean." But in the end of the story, Pastor Scott was going, "Well, let me then," and the guy goes, "No, I don't want to hear. I want to tell you what I learned. I learned that my daughter came to church, but she never came to Christ." How do we not come to church, but come to Christ? Not just on Sunday, but on Monday through Saturday too. How do we make our life a living example? This one lady who was living up in Kula, Maui, and it was wintertime. Anyway, she was going to this church down in Pa'ia, and she was telling her minister, I'm tired from church. I know how to pray to God, so I'm going to do it myself. And so 3 months later, knock, 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 the pastor went in, up there. And it was kind of cold, so she had the fireplace going on. And she goes, "Oh, pastor, what you doing here? Oh, I just came to pray with you." And so they prayed for a little while, and then they just sat and looked at each other. And then soon enough, the pastor looks at the fireplace, and then he takes those tongs, and he grabs one of the burning embers, and he put them on the side. And then he put the tong down, and he went back, sit on his chair, and he and the lady watching the ember. Slowly and slowly and slowly, the thing died. And after it died, then he picked them up, he looked at them, he looked at her, and he threw them back inside the fire. In no time flat, the dead ember went poof and came bright again. Then he left. The next day she called him up. She goes, "Pastor, that was the best sermon you have ever taught. I'm going to come to church this Sunday." The part is, if we stay by ourselves, slowly but surely, if we're going to peel, we're going to die. That's what community is all about. We have to feed each other. You got to feed the kahu. You got to feed the pastor. That's why I come to feed the pastor, because the pastor, how can he drink water when the bucket empty? You guys feeding him? And if you're not, then we need to do that. As a community, as he feeds you, you feed him. And you feed the mama kahu too. You feed her. That's what we do as a community. That's a missed opportunity if that doesn't happen. Because we got a malama. We got to care for this community as we go out and witness outside. And as we go out and we witness outside and our embers start to die out, we come back inside here for light up again. That's our job. That's what this church is here for. So that you can come and you can spark that fire one more time. You know, in Paul, to end this story about Paul, he wanted these people to have a great life in God. But you can't have a great life in God if you don't follow God. You know, read the Bible, we're on daily devotional with one memory verse. I mean, that's okay. I mean, it's cool, you know. But it's out of context. Out of context means, oh, let me figure out what this is, and I go put my own mana or my own thought inside here. And then as you do that, then all of a sudden you pack convoluted and confused things together, and all of a sudden that's your theology. That's your study of God. That's your understanding of God. No, when you like read the whole chapter. Better yet, read a couple chapters. Then you can see how the water moves. How the fish flow, how the limu come up, and then you go, oh, why the limu come this way? Ah, because the tide is, you know, you look at the whole environment of how God is moving the people of God throughout the Bible. And that's what Paul is telling them. He's not bashing them, he's just disappointed because he thought that they got it, but they didn't. So maybe, I'm thinking, it's Paul's fault. We're thinking sometimes Paul is King Kong because he's a great apostle. But maybe sometimes he never put the right guys in place. I mean, you know, that could happen. But sometimes we have to see that, and how can we, if the person is in place, how can we add more wisdom into our leadership? How can we add more constructive understanding to our followership? That's what we're talking about here, because we are a community. This is not an organization where you get one guy at the top or one girl at the top and everybody else got to follow like aimless sheep around over here. I mean, poor thing, the sheep I saw. 120,000 of them. Oh, where are you going? I'll go follow him. Okay, let's do it. Ah, Paul. Like, I ain't following those buggers. I'm getting off track, goodness sakes. So my last story, life is a journey. And so we have this proverbial train of life. And as we are born, the train stops at this station and we get on. And that's when we meet our parents, our grandparents, our siblings. And as we go, people start coming on. So we're meeting friends, new family, this and that on this train of life. But soon enough, every station that it stops, somebody get off and somebody get on. Your grandparents pass away. New friends come on. Old friends leave from elementary school. And then soon enough, your parents get off at the station. And then you're left to yourself. And then your whole world changed. You know, my friend, her parents, her father passed early, and then her mother passed when she was 55. Not the mother, but the girl was 55 years old. And then all of the friends started going, "Oh, you kupuna now." He goes, "I'm not kupuna, I don't have grandkids." "No, you kupuna." "Why?" "Because your kupuna have gone. And so now you hold the flame of your ohana, of your family. You hold the wisdom of all of those who come before you, because there's nobody standing in the back of you." Might we be the kupuna of God's kingdom? When God said, "Who going to sign up for this?" Are we going to say, "Here I am, Lord, send me"? Are we going to be that kupuna that goes, "There's nobody else here, it's my turn"? And so that's what I leave you with, is to fill your hearts with the love of God. Don't come to church, come to Christ. Come to know the Word of God. And when you know the Word of God, you will come to understand why we all are joined here. Why we joined here? Because we need each other. And as somebody's cup gets a little empty, hey, you don't need the waiter or waitress. When they're busy, go grab the pitcher yourself and go pour the water in. That's what we need to do. And so, because at the end of your life, what are you leaving behind? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? And it's not your legacy, but what kind of legacy of God are you leaving behind? You can tell I wasn't ready for this, but... people get ready. There's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner. It's hurt all mankind just to save his own. So people get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. People get ready, there's a train coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. You don't need no ticket, just thank the Lord. You don't need no ticket for this thing. You just thank the Lord. And so what I'm going to do today, I'm not going to say we're going to end. But a lot of times, we pray you out, and we end the service. But we're not going to end this service. Because the service of God is 24/7, every single day. So we won't do a benediction, because we're going to stay in worship. We're going to continue to stay in worship until next Sunday when Pastor Scott comes to give you the Word of God again. Can we agree that we're going to stay in worship for the whole week? Good. Well, Lord, you who are the designer of our lives, who are the designer of all creation, who is the sweetness in our taste buds, who is the fragrance in the breath that we take, who is the coolness of the trade winds, and who is the sunshine in our life. Today is the day that you have made. You have not promised our tomorrows. You give us today. And so, Lord, we take this day and we will go out, Lord. We will go out and we will bless people. We will witness. And Lord, we think that witnessing is hard. But all people will know is that we may be the only Bible they ever read. And so let us have ears to hear and eyes to see, mouths to speak your words of wisdom, your words of love to those we come into contact with throughout our lifetime, as we move out into the world, as we leave this holy space to find other holy spaces to praise you, O God. And as we praise you, give us more words. And if words are not necessary, give us more love, Lord. For we, as lovers of you, pass that on to those here today and the next generation to come. Because you are that bright morning star that guides our life. Let us keep our head looking up. Let's forget about looking down. Let's look up to you always and keep our path straight. And if our paths are not straight, Lord, make it windy, because we know that with every trial and tribulation in our life, that you will develop our character until we find rest and comfort in your heavenly kingdom. Until then, Lord, we continue the worship space till next Sunday. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kahu. What a beautiful message. Listen to understand, so that when I speak, I can be understood. Oh, wow. You get two ears, right? And one mouth. Listen twice as much as you. And one wise pastor said, church starts when you leave. Amen? Thank you so much, Kahu. I think he's going to stick around for a little while so people can tell you hi. No. So, yeah, they might. So you guys are dismissed. Fill up your coffee cup before you leave. Thank Kahu Makuakane and tell him come back soon. All right? God bless you all. Have a great week.
You've been listening to a special message from Pastor Kenneth Makuakane of Kawaiha'o Church in Honolulu, Hawaii, delivered at New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.